Well, if you'd have your Bibles, you can turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 13. In these last few weeks, we've been examining our Christian duties as set forth in chapters 12 and 13 here, Book of Romans. They've included submitting ourselves to God, to our church, to our society, yeah, even to our enemies, to our civil authorities, and how can we submit to them? Well, by serving them with our gifts and our goods. The Apostle Paul has taught us that in submitting ourselves to others, we are really submitting ourselves unto God. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, what? For there's no power but of God. The powers that are ordained are of God. So, we've discovered, at least last week we did, but when you and I submit and pay our taxes, we are really submitting ourselves unto the Lord. That was in verses 6 and verse 7. Look at what he says there in verse 6. Paul says, pay ye tribute. Then look at verse 7. Render to all their dues. Now, maintaining the same theme, he begins verse 8 by saying what? Owe no man anything. Owe no man anything. In verses 8 through 10, our text for today, the Apostle Paul is going to instruct us, his readers, to fulfill the law. How? By loving one another. You see, the only debt that you and I are to have is our debt to God. Let's read about it. Romans 13, beginning verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Question, are you continually paying your debt of fulfilling the law by loving your brethren? Well, may this portion of Scripture move all of us to greater obedience to do this very thing. First of all, I want you to focus on this word translated, owe. Other places in the Bible, it's translated as follows. 15 times, ought. 3 times, owest. Twice, bound, due, duty, owed. 1 time, each is translated debt, debtor, guilty, indebted, owe, and oweth. We're going to do a little bit of word study this morning. Because what I'm about to show you is when we look at this phrase, owe no man anything, it's a little bit broader than what you and I realize. Now, in the context here, it means that we're to be under no obligation to, we're not to be in debt to, we're not to be bound to any man in that we owe them money. That's what we see here. Look at, again, verse 6 and 7, our context. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, yes, we are to owe no any man anything when it comes to money. But I want you to understand, this is not an admonition, as some men would have you to believe, against borrowing. It's an admonition against not paying what you have borrowed. Now, whereas the Bible does not forbid borrowing, it does teach you and I that to borrow will become a servant, a slave, to the lender, right? Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let me give you an illustration. I know a person, they had incurred a considerable debt on their cards. But instead of filing for bankruptcy, they sought out a financial institute that stopped the interest payments and the overdue penalties and enabled that individual to put all their monies into one institution, which they made monthly payments. Now, it took them a few years to pay off this indebtedness. The way this particular individual did it, they got a second job and began working. And in 2 years, they had their debt paid. All of us need to take heed lest we too become a servant to the lender. He learned that phrase that owe no man anything can involve servitude to another person. But this is not forbidding borrowing. It's forbidding you borrowing and not paying it back. But again, I'm not suggesting anybody would borrow. If you got a credit card, you should pay that at the end of the month. If you can't pay that at the end of the month, that's what you should do, your credit card. Cut it up until you're able to do that and control that. But anyway, what am I saying to you? Owe no man anything has a much broader meaning than just paying a debt to those that you owe money. For example, it also contains the idea, look at your part B, owe no one, that is your wife, love. As I already mentioned, this word translated here, owe, is also translated elsewhere, ought. For example, I'm reading out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Man, you owe it to your wives to love them as much as you love yourself. So the question I put to you today is this. Are you in debt? Are you letting that debt go unpaid? Love your wife. I mean, you owe it to your wife to love her even as you love yourself. But let's move on because it's got some other meanings. Second, I write, owe no one rights. Now, that's a little bit confusing, but let me explain it to you. In the Bible, Paul tells us that he has a whole bunch of rights. You've got 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, and then he writes in Romans in 13 and 14. He talks about how he has all kinds of rights. He has a right to do this, a right to do that. But if any way his right would offend somebody else, he would just surrender that right. He wouldn't do it. In the context of those passages, he's referring to eating and drinking and not doing anything that would be an offense to God or be an offense to someone else, cause someone to stumble. Based on those chapters, I've never drank. Now, some might argue, well, the Bible forbids you from drinking, but I don't believe that's what the Scriptures teach. I believe the Scriptures teach against drunkenness, but I don't drink. And the reason why I don't drink is because I'm not going to be an offense to anybody. In that passage, he talks about the aspect that the mature Christian should not, well, let me read it to you. We then that are strong, we that are mature, ought. What do we owe? We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. And in this passage, the weak are those who take a very narrow position. Oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Whereas maybe because of our knowledge, we understand, yeah, I do have a right to do this. Yes, I do have a right to do that. But you know what? Because this person doesn't have that knowledge, I'm not going to cause them to stumble. Therefore, I just won't do it. I haven't ever caused anybody to stumble because of me drinking. Never have. Because I don't drink. So they can't stumble. That's a debt that you and I owe to others. But today in our grace church, grace this, grace that, and we think, whoa, hey, I got all these rights. But you and I owe it to the weaker brother not to cause them to stumble. Are you willing to surrender a right that you have not to cause them to stumble in their faith? You owe it to them. But watch this. We're going to a little bit more word study here. Owe no one instruction. What does that mean? Hebrews 5, verse 12 says this. For when the time ye ought, you owe it to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Do you realize every one of us have a debt that we owe to others, that there's somebody we should be teaching? Way too often we do not realize how blessed we've been to be able to sit and be taught and learn the Word of God. We are a blessed people. You have a lot of knowledge, people. You have a whole lot of teaching that world needs to hear. Now, we shouldn't be ashamed and fearful of sharing it with them. In fact, you owe it to them. The easiest example I could give you would be concerning how husbands are to wash and cleanse their wives with what? The Word. Men, are you teaching your wife? Do you have the lead to devotions? Do you read to your wife? Do you pray over your wife? You owe it to her. You owe it. Owe no man anything. A little broader than just money, isn't it? How about this one? Owe no one, that is poor saints, physical things. I'm going to just flip over to Romans chapter 15. We'll get to this passage, but I want to share it with you in light of what we're talking about right now. Owing no man anything. 25. Romans 15, 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Remember? For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them, and verily, their debtors, you see the word debtors? That's our word. Oh, they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Paul here is teaching his readers that when they benefit from spiritual teaching of others, they're in debt to minister unto them with their physical things. This would also go along with the aspect of your giving to the church and supporting the pastor, such as this, as the teaching here. But I want to show you one more. Just flip over a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 7 or 8 pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, no one, here's another thing that you should know. Don't owe your mate concerning the physical relationship. He says in verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Then it says this, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. That's what you owe her. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Paul is teaching his Corinthian readers that a husband and wife must meet their mate's physical needs. You owe it to them. So the question we throw out there this morning, how much in debt are you to your mate? You owe it to him. But you want to see something else? Oh, no one, forgiveness. Forgiveness. When someone sins against us, they are indebted to us to come and ask us for forgiveness. And we are indebted to them to give them forgiveness. I'm reading out of Luke 11, verse 4. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray unto God. And he says to God, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is, here's our word, indebted to us, who owes us. Those who sin against us owe us to come and ask us for forgiveness. And we owe it to them to forgive. You paid your debt? Or do you owe a man? Do you owe someone? Do you need to go to someone and pay that debt of saying, please forgive me? Or have someone come to you and with sincerity and true repentance ask you to forgive them and you've yet to forgive them? You owe it to them. These are just some of the ways in the Bible that this word owe is used. Let's sum it up here. Focus your eyes on our purpose here on your sheet. I purpose to owe no man anything. Okay, what is this about, people? Well, I'm going to pay my bills on time, okay? Pay that electric bill on time. I'm going to owe no man anything because I'm going to love my wife as I love my own body. I'm going to demonstrate it by bearing the infirmities of my weak brother, by teaching others, by giving to my needy brethren, by meeting my mate's physical needs, and by seeking forgiveness and by giving forgiveness. Owe no man anything. A little broader than you thought. Well, as you turn back to our text, whereas in this passage, Paul exhorts his readers, owe no man anything, he does add a but. Did you see the but? The but is to love one another. This is a debt, my friends, that you should have, and you will have for all eternity. You're never going to be able to fully pay this debt. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be trying. But this is a debt that you'll always have. You owe it to God. You owe it to God's people to love them. Now, why this debt? Well, okay, watch this. First of all, by loving one another, we demonstrate we love God and his law. First of all, it demonstrates loving others, or when we love others, we show we love God. Let me give you a couple of verses of scripture. You see, I've given them to you on your sheet. You can look them up later. But 1 John 3:16, that's like John 3:16, right? But 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we know the love of God? Well, because he laid down his life for us. And we owe it to God to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is a debt that we'll always be paying to our God because of what great thing that he's done for us in saving us. 1 John 4:11 says this, beloved, if God so loved us, we owe it to God to love one another. The debt we are to be continually paying to the Lord is to love him by loving others. How? Let's flash back to what we just looked at earlier. How? Well, in paying our debts, Yes, in loving our wife, in not being a stumbling block to others, in teaching others, in financially supporting others, in meeting one's mate's physical needs, in forgiving and asking for forgiveness. These are some of the ways we demonstrate our love for God in loving others. Look at your purpose. Because of the love of God, because of the love that God's shown to me, I purpose to pay my debt of love to others and thereby show my love for God. The Apostle John, he says that we are to love one another because God so loved us, he sent his Son to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins, 1 John 4:10. The Apostle Paul says that we are to be perpetually paying the debt of loving one another and thus fulfill the law of God. So loving others, show we love God. But also loving others, show we love God's law. Look at verse 8. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But you say, Pastor, wait a minute. We're not under the law, we're under grace. In our reading this morning in Romans 3, he proclaimed that indeed we are justified not by the law, but by God's grace when we believed on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Listen to Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But just because you and I are saved by grace and sanctified by grace, that doesn't mean you and I have the liberty to disregard the moral law of God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to just go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading verse 9. And Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, be not deceived, neither unrighteous, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So understand what he's saying here. The fact that you and I have been washed, sanctified, and justified by faith in Jesus Christ should be evidenced by our moral behavior. We shouldn't be demonstrating that we're fornicators, that we are idolaters, that we're covetous, that we're drunkards, or et cetera, et cetera. Because we've been washed. The fact that we've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ should be demonstrated by our keeping the moral law of God. Look at your purpose. Well, one more thing. I want to show you one more reference concerning the Lord. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. If you don't want to turn there, you can listen to me as I read you a couple of verses. John 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one of another. The very fact that we love others bears witness that we are indeed the Lord's disciples. Therefore, look at this purpose. Because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I purpose to bear witness of this. How? By striving to keep God's moral law. In Romans 3, verse 31, Paul writes these words. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The fact that we've been wonderfully and gloriously saved by grace should be seen in our godly walk of trying and striving to keep the law. So, though you and I are not obligated to keep the ceremonial law, we are obligated to keep God's moral law. The moral law is an expression of God's righteousness, given to be the code of practice for God's people, and that's for all ages. I'm reading now out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, the fifth chapter, a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 5 says this, verse 17. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law," says Jesus, "or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Listen, Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Now, keep that thought in mind. Look at our present text. Because in our text, in both verses 8 and 10, Paul reminds his readers that loving others fulfills the law. Loving others fulfill the law. And Matthew 22 tells us about those two great commandments. It says it like this. Verse 22, and when the verse 34, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Pastor Barlow this morning in the early service shared that with us. That the commandment to love God is seen in the first four of the Ten Commandments. Then commandments 5 through 10 is seen in that second one of loving others. How can you and I fulfill a law as we turn back to our passage here in Romans 13? Love the Lord. Love others. Keep the commandments. Look at your purpose. You know what? I purpose to strive to fulfill a law. How can you do that? By loving the Lord and by loving others. James 2:8. James, he writes this. "Hey, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Galatians 5:14. Now the Apostle Paul again says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Notice how the Apostle Paul illustrates this truth here in verse 9 of Romans 13. He says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Of the six laws dealing with our relationship with others, we find four of them mentioned right here. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Do you know what two are missing? Anybody want to give a guess? Anything about father and mother? Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. And there's another one, thou shalt not bear false witness. But understand, look at this list is not meant to be inclusive, all-inclusive, that is. It was meant to illustrate how you and I can fulfill the law. Look at your purpose. I purpose to fulfill the moral law of God by loving my brethren. How? By keeping the commandments. Look at the last part of verse 9. And if there be any other commandment in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, all the laws concerning human relationship are summed up in this single saying. So listen to me. If you're a Christian, are you loving God? Are you loving others? It should be seen in your fulfilling the law, the moral law of God. Now, verse 10 is simply a further explanation of what the Apostle Paul has already taught his readers. Look what he says in verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Of the 51 times this word translated right here, ill, is found in your Bible, 45 of them are translated evil. Concept of evil. Agape love does not work evil towards others. Final purpose for today, here it is. I purpose to fulfill the law by showing love towards my neighbor and not evil. So listen to me. Loving your neighbor, loving others, verse 9, working no evil towards your neighbor, towards others, verse 10, is fulfilling the law. There's only one debt that we owe, and we're to be continuously paying to man, to God, and that's to love them. For in so doing, you know what? We fulfill the law. Let's pray God will give us the grace and mercy to do that very thing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this admonition that you've given to us today. Two part, if you will. First, owe no man. And we saw the broadness of that phrase and what it meant. Lord, perhaps you've convicted someone here in this room today that they do owe something to someone else. I pray that, Lord, I would give them the grace and mercy to pay that debt and to pay it in full. But then, Lord, you've said, owe no man anything but to love one another. So help us, Lord, I pray, to be mindful that because of all that you have done for us, that we are truly indebted to you. And we can pay this debt, the debt of love, by loving others, even as you have so loved us. Thank you, Lord. Just bless us, I pray, with a sincere desire to pay our debt we owe to you, a debt of gratitude, a debt of thanksgiving, a debt of praise. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.